And I'll invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 2. As we closed last week, we saw how David peacefully died physically after giving his son Solomon, the new king of Israel, the charge to take care of some things for him. And part of that charge, of course, was for him to walk faithfully with God. And I want to deal tonight with something that we don't normally talk about. People don't like talking about it. And really, you might think, well, you know, this seems like more of a Sunday morning issue than a Wednesday night issue. But I know that God can do great things on a Wednesday night, too. Some things you wouldn't think of. I got saved on Wednesday night, okay? And I'm thankful that you wouldn't think Wednesday night would be a good time to preach on hell, but my pastor preached on hell on a Wednesday night, and I got saved, okay? So I want to talk about death tonight, and we see, and we're going to just take a look at two verses here. Verse 10 says, "So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel, 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned he in Jerusalem." So, you know, we just have a simple statement there. And before we move on to Solomon's reign, I want us to think about the subject of death, because we see the death of one of God's greatest servants here. And, we don't see a bunch of hustle and bustle around it. You don't see him making a commotion about it. He knew that death was coming, and he lined things up the way things needed to be in his life, and then he just bowed himself on the bed and died. Death is usually something folks don't like to talk about or even think about. One of my all-time favorite commercials has to do with that very subject. Now I'm going to date myself here. You probably remember, some of you that are older remember, years ago, I think it was Independent Life. They had a commercial with a casket maker. He was making wooden caskets, and he was kind of sitting inside one of those caskets doing some detail work on the inside, and he had a helper that was on the outside, and the helper on the outside turns to a noise that somebody came through the door, and he says, "Uh-oh, here comes that insurance salesman again." And the guy falls back in the casket, and the lid plops down on him. And the idea behind it is, even people that deal with things dealing with death don't like think about death. You know, here this guy was coming to get him to think about buying life insurance, and he didn't want to think about it. I mean, here he was working on caskets, knowing that he might be working on his own. He didn't know. But I just thought it was a very good advertisement. But listen, for the true believer, like David was, death is something that we shouldn't fear. Yeah. I know there's an unknown factor there. I mean, we don't know what it's like to die, because none of us have. Amen. And with that unknown factor is the thing that usually causes us fear. But if we know God, He's the factor that we need to know to take the fear out of death. Does that make sense? And I believe that was the case with David, when you see the death of David here. Understand that even though these verses show that David died physically and left the earthly shell of his body behind, I mean, they buried his body with his kin folks there in the city of David. He is not dead. Okay? His body died. That means the spirit, as we talked about Sunday night, his spirit left his body, and that's what physical death is. When your spirit leaves your body, you're dead. And you're not dead until that point. If they can revive you, your spirit hadn't left your body. And nobody, once that spirit leaves that body, nobody can get it back in except God. And He will one day. Amen. But He left that earthly shell of His body behind. And we know he's not dead because for the believer, death is not death. Now, there's a poem by that name, Death is Not Death, and that talks about that very thing. And I've used it a couple of times, I think, in different memorial services or funerals that I have had to officiate. Let me read to you. I don't know who the author is. Never been able to find out who actually wrote the poem. It's not original with me, though. Okay, so I'm not taking any credit for it. But let me read it to you. It's called Death is Not Death. So you see, death is not death if you know the Lord. It is merely a change of place, a change of state, a transfer from one realm to another. Death is not death if it kills no part of us except that which hindered us from the perfect life, talking about our human body. Death is not death if it raises us in a moment from darkness to light, from weakness to strength, from sinfulness to holiness. Death is not death if it perfects our faith by making it sight and lets us behold Him in whom we have believed. Death is not death if it rids us of doubt and fear, sickness and disease, of sorrow and sadness. Death is not death for the believer, for Christ has conquered death for Himself and for those who trust in Him. I think it's a very good poem. And we see that David had peace in his death. And that's because of David's faith in the Lord. Most of us are familiar with the Shepherd's Psalm. You know, we know the Shepherd's Psalm is Psalm 23. That's one of the most recited psalms. In fact, one of the passages that is most read at a funeral is, I believe, Psalm 23. But it has a place there in Psalm 23 and verse 4 that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now I want you to think about that phrase, the shadow of death. Think about the shadow of death. There was a noted Bible teacher who lived and ministered in the first part of the last century, the 20th century. His name was Donald Gray Barnhouse. You may be familiar with the name. He's put out a set of commentaries, Barnhouse commentaries. I don't have his commentaries, but I just read the story about him, and it was very interesting. He lost his first wife to cancer and was left with three children under the age of 12. As Barnhouse and his family were driving to the funeral service, a large truck passed them and cast a huge shadow across their car. He turned to his oldest daughter, who was staring sadly out the window. And Barnhouse asked her, he said, "Tell me, sweetheart, would you rather to be run over by that truck or its shadow?" After she thought over her father's question, she replied, "By the shadow, I guess it can't hurt you." Barnhouse then shared this wisdom with his children. "Your mother has not been overridden by death, but by the shadow of death. That is nothing that we should fear." We all going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He said, "Death in its substance has been removed and only the shadow of it remains." He's talking about for believer. "Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot block a man's pathway for even a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill." See, death has no dominion over us anymore. When we look at the scriptures and see folks die, peace in the face of death is something that we find repeatedly in people who were confident of their faith in the Lord. What you think about that? People who had a strong faith in the Lord, you don't see them getting all bent out of shape over their death, approaching death that they could see coming their way. You see them in a state of peace as they die. And that's both in the Old Testament and New Testament. I want you to just think for a minute with me about the Apostle Paul. The Lord gave Paul perfect peace about both his approaching death and his martyrdom. He's about to give his life for the cause of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, he says, "We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And that verse has been a comfort to many a believer and should be a comfort to all believers, really. Paul also is the one that wrote in Philippians 1:21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then in just two verses later, in Philippians 1, verse 23 and 24, he says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And he said, "I just am going home to be with the Lord, except the Lord needs me to minister to y'all," is how he was putting it there. And then when he actually got down to the very end of his life, and he's writing the words to the young Timothy, who was pastoring at Ephesus at the time, he told Timothy at the end of his second epistle, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I mean, what a great way to approach death in your life. With no regrets. Paul had no regrets. He had no anxiety about death. He had peace. And now let me ask tonight, as we think about this matter of death, are you prepared for your death? Now, I'm not talking about preparing for it the way the world prepares, even though there are some things that we need to prepare in that arena too. I trust that you have a will, and it's good to have a last testament will. And if you don't have that, especially if you're a young couple with children, one of the first things that we did whenever we were married and the kids came along, we made sure we had a will, because if something happened to me and her, we wanted to be able to say where the children went. Yeah? We wanted to have a say-so in that. I had life insurance. I wanted to make sure that they were prepared for. You know, that's a good thing to have. But that's not the preparation I'm talking about. Those things are important, and you need to prepare in that way too. But when I ask, are you prepared for your death, I'm speaking about eternal things. Where will you spend eternity? Do you know that you've been truly born again? Do you know that? Somebody say, "Well, I don't like to talk about it. I don't like to think about it." Well, the thing is, you better think about it, because your death is the gateway to where you will be for all eternity. And it's something that we need to make sure our heart is settled on. Amen. I mean, this is not an area where you want to think so, hope so, maybe so. No, you need to know. So I don't think anybody can know. What the Bible says, we can know. We're looking in 1 John on Sunday nights, and we're going to get to the point when we get in chapter 5 where he actually talks about that we can know that we're saved. And I'll refer to that verse here in a little bit. But some folks don't like to think about it. But have you truly been born again? And I want you to follow me closely. When I ask that question, by that I'm asking first, has there ever been a time when you saw yourself as a lost, hell-bound sinner? Because if you've never seen yourself as a lost, hell-bound sinner, you're not saved. Okay? Just not. You have to get lost to get saved. Does that make sense? What are you going to be saved from? You know, if you've never gotten lost, if somebody has never brought you to a point and showed you your need of salvation. So, in order to be saved, you first have to admit you're lost. And the Bible says in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us. Amen. And then Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's really As simple as what Jesus said in John 3, verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When we came into this world, we came in lost. Lost sinners in need of the Savior. So, have you ever come to the point where you acknowledged your need of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's nobody who has ever, I've just been in church all my life, and so I think I'm okay. No, it's not about being in church all your life. It's not about knowing about Jesus, okay? You can know about Jesus and not be saved. It's not about anything that you have done as far as joined a church or been baptized or any such thing as that. So that if you realize that there's nothing that you can do to save yourself, there's nothing that we can do. There's not enough churches that we could join. Not enough churches we could attend. You could attend Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every time the doors are open, you're there. That's not going to get you into heaven. Not going to get anybody into heaven. It's not in keeping the law. You say, well, I think if we just keep the Ten Commandments, we'd do okay. Well, you're not keeping the Ten Commandments. Hey, if you don't believe it, pick up the little DVD disc bearer on the track table. Just a 19-minute little video that will tell you and it'll show you from God's Word how that you are a lawbreaker. We're all lawbreakers. Amen? We just are. And we can't keep the law. There's nothing apart from Christ that can save us. Nothing that we can do. If anyone could have ever done anything to save themselves, then there would be no need for Jesus to have come. Another thing, has there ever been a time when you saw what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary and you repented of your sin? Whatever it was that you were trusting in to get you to heaven, you turned from that, you repented of that, and you placed your faith and trust entirely in Christ and Him alone, looking to His death for your sin. Christ, the gospel is simple. It's how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and raised again from the dead the third day according to the Scripture. And we must take and believe entirely on Him. Preparing for eternity is the most important thing to take care of prior to your death. Because listen, that's something you can't take care of after your death. When your spirit leaves your body, it's too late. Can I tell you also that you can wait too late, still be here, not be able to understand the gospel? You know, you can lose your mental faculties while you've got your right mind, while you're able to think about things in a right way. You need to come to an understanding of the gospel. I remember when I first started preaching. I first started preaching in the nursing homes. And you go to the nursing home and there were some folks that could understand, but there were some people that they could not understand what you were saying. They would bring them into the service, and that was fine. They enjoyed the singing and whatever, but when you tried to talk to them about Jesus and what Jesus did for them and how that they were sinners and they were in need of taking and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, they did not understand. It was too late for them. How sad. And you know, it don't take much to lose your faculties. It can be, it could happen with a stroke, could happen with a car wreck, could happen with a simple fall. Or it could happen just from age-related things that come upon your life. So preparing for eternity is the most important thing to take care of prior to your death and while you still have the faculties to do it. Because after you die, I can assure you it is too late. There's no such thing as purgatory. No such thing. So closing our mind to our appointment with death by pretending it's not there, it's not going to make us immortal. It's not going to make death go away. Listen, because we're so frail and life is so short, we must prepare for eternity early because we don't know when our appointment with death is going to come. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed. You got an appointment with death. You know, I got an appointment Monday with a doctor. You know, I made that appointment. And I know when that appointment is, and I'm going to go to that appointment on Monday to get my skin checked, make sure I don't have any skin cancer. Amen? But God's made the appointment for your death, and He hadn't told you when it is. He knows when you're leaving here, but you don't know when you're leaving here. You could walk through you may leave here before you walk through those doors, you know? You could leave here, leave planet Earth before you leave here. I want you to listen real close to this. You know, every death we hear about, every obituary we read, every funeral we attend or memorial service, every funeral home that we see, every graveyard or cemetery that we see, all of that ought to be a reminder of just what lies ahead for us. Amen? I mean, it ain't going to be too long that I'm going to be, you know, if the Lord don't come back, I know that I've got that in my future, just like you do. It could be tonight. Or it might be. I'm praying the Lord gives me a few more years, you know. And, you know, I'm not looking to check out anytime soon, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, I'd be better off. Well, my wife wouldn't be better off. You know, I like to stick around for her, my grandkids. But James 4:14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Now, as we look at this chapter here, David was on the borderline between time and eternity, and he passed over that borderline from time into eternity with peace in his heart. You know, that's the way I want to go. Amen? And that's the way we all ought to want to go. Peace in your heart. You might be on the borderline right now, not even realize it. This day could be the last day of your life. You may leave here and never make it to your home alive. Or you may lay your head down on your pillow and sleep for the last time tonight. None of us know when our appointment with death is. And the question is, when your life is over, where are you going to be? When your life here is over, do you know for sure where you're headed when you get to the other side? There's only two places, heaven or hell. And so I don't believe in that hell stuff. Well, you're going to become a believer. Yeah? If you don't believe in hell, the moment that you are on the other side, you'll be like the rich man in the rich story that Jesus gave of the rich man and Lazarus. That was not a parable. That was a story of a man that lived, a certain rich man. It was a certain rich man. He died, and it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Just like that. So, the question is Christ your righteousness and your life? Do you know that you're saved? 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Listen, if you're not sure, I'm talking about 100% sure about your salvation, don't leave here tonight without that assurance. I don't know why God had me do this, okay, tonight. I just know that I felt strongly impressed not to move forward until we talked about David's death and the peace that he had in it, and to make sure that we have peace with our approaching death. Now, we're here to help you come to know Christ if you don't know Him tonight. How you deal with the subject of death will dictate your outlook on life. If you believe, well, we just die like a dog, death ends it all, well, that's going to affect how you live. You know, you see people with a live it up philosophy and lifestyle. That's where that comes from. They don't believe in the afterlife. They don't believe in that there's judgment to come. Listen, if you refuse Jesus Christ, then death is something to be feared. If you're trusting in anything else other than Christ and Christ alone, you need to fear. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, death does not have to be feared, for in Him you can know where you're going. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you need help, I'm available. My wife's available. If you're a lady, I want to talk to you about how to get saved, how you can know for sure. Don't leave here without knowing for sure. And like I said, I know it might seem strange on a Wednesday night that the Lord would have me do this. But as I said, I felt strongly impressed to do this tonight. All right, that's our Bible study for tonight. Let's pull out our prayer list and pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed in our prayer.